This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy.
We are joined for the rest of the hour by the head of Burlington's Police Department, John Murad. He became the acting chief in June 2020 and was appointed to the position permanently in June of last year. Chief Murad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Michaela. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure. All right, Chief, let's start with some hot off the presses news here. So just today, Burlington Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek announced a new senior advisor on community safety, Ingrid Jonas. Ingrid retired from the Vermont State Police in 2021. She was the first woman to become a captain and major with the VSP. And more recently, she's worked with Burlington's Community Justice Center on restorative justice training for police and prosecutors. What is your understanding of how Ingrid will be working with your department?
Well, I am incredibly eager to start working with Ingrid. I've known her for quite some time. I mean, I returned to Burlington in 2018 as a deputy chief. I had been born here and grown up here, but I'd left for most of my adult life. Returned in 2018 as a deputy chief and have known of Ingrid and then have had occasion to know her since then. And I'm really excited to have this opportunity to have somebody who has a different perspective on policing through the Vermont State Police, a very different kind of policing that is provided by the VSP as opposed to our city urban policing in Burlington, to come in and be able to take a look at what we do and how we do it and what challenges are we facing. What is the role going to be? I think the role is going to be one of really linking together a lot of different parts that are currently coming together in public safety in Burlington. And that includes things that are in the police department, like the community support liaisons that we created. I built that position with a woman named Lacey Smith, who's now the assistant director of what we call CAPE, or Crisis Advocacy Intervention Programs. We have in-house social workers. So that's something that's in the police department. We also have community service officers who are unarmed, unsworn officers that can answer certain kinds of low-level quality of life issues. That's also in the police department. Of course, we have police officers, many, many too few police officers. And you mentioned about police presence and, you know, what is adequate in Burlington. It is not currently adequate. But then there's lots of things outside the police department as well that are components of public safety. And that includes our incredible partners at the Burlington Fire Department and this new CIT team that they've put together to address health issues in the field. It includes our Community Justice Center or the CJC, where we refer cases that are not necessarily going to go through the regular criminal justice process. And so being able to take all these pieces and really get a handle on them and then advise the mayor on how best to utilize each of these pieces, I think is something that is going to be really useful and helpful for the city.
And Chief, I appreciate you explaining those acronyms as you go through them, because I think your line of work, there's a lot of acronyms.
There are.
So I want to get to staffing in just a moment. But first, let's linger a little bit more about on the relationship between you and your department and the mayor's office. Now, during Mayor Mulvaney-Stanek's campaign, she declined numerous times to answer whether or not she was going to reappoint you as Burlington's police chief, saying she wanted to get to know you better. She ultimately did reappoint you, of course. That's why you're here. Yeah. And after she was elected this spring, I'm curious how, in your perspective, how relations between you and her have been so far now that you have worked together a few months, because during the campaign, I wouldn't call you two best friends.
So, the police chief works for the mayor, but the police chief also has a lot of independence. It's in the charter. The police chief runs the police department, and unlike any other named department head, the Burlington City Charter authorizes a lot of authorities to the police chief and the determinations about how to run. So that is, I believe, something that's really necessary because of another component that is almost unique to the police department. Only the fire department shares it, which is that the police department is explicitly not political. And so I think there are important pieces on how the relationship with the mayor works. I work for the mayor. I serve at the pleasure of the mayor. But the operations of the police department are not political.
The city's FY25 budget has resources set aside for hiring more sworn officers and community service officers. And that's kind of a big deal because there were a lot of budget issues in Burlington this year. Can you talk to us about the current staffing levels? You mentioned that it's not enough. What do you think they should be, and what are you allowed to have? What's the cap?
Sure. So, you know, the Burlington Police Department for many, many years, for decades, really, had been an agency that was authorized to have between 100 and 105 officers. And we rarely hit that absolute number. The fact of the matter is that almost any entity doesn't usually have its total number simply because attrition happens sometimes more rapidly than hiring. Hiring police officers is a long prospect. We want it to be a thorough process where we really vet these officers and we want to train them. And so it's a long process to become a police officer. We usually hovered around 97, and the average from basically 2010 through 2020 was 97 police officers. We obviously have decreased a lot from that, and we currently have 68 sworn police officers. Not all of those officers are immediately available for work. Three of them are at the Vermont Police Academy. Two of them are in field training. Two of them are out on maternity leave right now, which is wonderful. And so we actually have about 57 or 58, I believe, who we call effective, as in people who can immediately be deployed. The CNA report, which was a report that was done in finished in 2021, stated that the headcount for the Burlington Police Department should be 87. That's currently the number with which we're working. As I said, you know, we spent decades as an effective, responsive, top-notch, cutting-edge agency at 97, but the CNA report says 87, and we're well below that at this time. So that's the number that we're currently shooting for. Yeah. We have made a lot of progress on it. We brought in more new sworn officers last year than any year in our history for the past about three decades that we know of. We brought in 15, and that was a really remarkable achievement. A terrific recruitment officer named Carolyn Irwin, a terrific professional position, a recruitment coordinator named Anhad Bajwa. They did amazing work. But we lost officers too, and we started the year at 69, and here we are at 68 right now. So yeah. Obviously that progress is not as strong as we need it to be. We're looking right now at a number of efforts with regard to publicizing the positions, with regard to marketing ourselves, with regard to articulating our value proposition to new prospective officers. Our best bet for growth is to bring in what we call lateral officers. Those are already certified officers from other locations within the state, which is challenging based on our position in the state and the knowledge that we are currently understaffed and therefore the workload is very heavy. Or from out of state. And that, I think, is a slightly better angle of potential growth. And we really need to figure out how we can market ourselves out of state to get the right people here to join this police department.
Mm. And just some additional context to the decrease in officers that you mentioned earlier. In June 2020, the Burlington City Council voted to reduce headcount from 105 officers to 74. This was right around the time of the protests about George Floyd's murder and a national reckoning about the role of police and police violence in communities across the country. And then, as you said, Chief, in 2021, the cap was raised back up to 87. Let's go to the phones here. We have a number of questions coming in for Burlington Police Chief John Murad. Tim in St. Albans, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. The Chief has made in previously statements regarding the problem with recidivism. And I would like to hear the Chief's solution to that problem, given that Corrections is currently using out-of-state housing for inmates, and given that Vermont is ranked fourth in the country as one of the safest states around. So I'm just interested in what the Chief has to say about that.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. And yes, Chief Murad, you've noted in the past that most officer interactions in Burlington involve repeat offenders who have been released from custody previously.
Yeah, or custody being released from custody being a sort of an interesting term, meaning they have been arrested or taken by a police officer, held very briefly and issued a citation and then released, as opposed to released from custody in the sense that they were ever jailed, much less imprisoned. So, you know, I do think that that is a challenge for us. You know, nobody wants to place people who are not harming others into situations where their freedom is curtailed. But harm is something that we have to consider with regard to not just physical violence, but with regard to the damage that is done to a community. I think that we are all harmed by some of the things that we see with regard to recidivism and certain kinds of public order crimes. And I also think that oftentimes the folks who commit those can be better served when they have robust services. And sometimes those services can be provided in jail. That's not to say that everybody needs to be jailed by any means. And in fact, we are very, very clear about the number of folks who end up being jailed in Burlington and throughout Vermont, which is, I think, the right course. But I do think that there are folks who have been continually recidivist in ways that are that have been proven to be incorrigible. And we need to have different kinds of solutions for that than merely continually rearresting them, issuing them the exact same conditions of release, and witnessing them then violate those exact same conditions again.
Now, Chief, in November, Burlington voters are going to vote on a charter change involving police oversight. This resolution would essentially give more power to a police oversight commission. This is the third effort since 2020 to codify more oversight for the Burlington Police Department in the city's charter. Do you see a value in this type of increased oversight?
I don't. I think that we have a really strong system right now. I think it's functioning very, very well. And I think the more people learn about the system that we currently have, the more satisfied with it they would be. We just published a very large 30-plus page document on a new directive defining our internal complaint and disciplinary system. And that was done with the Burlington Police Commission. It was rewritten with them. It replaces an older directive that had a lot of gaps in it. This was also something that was recommended in that report I mentioned, the CNA report. And I think that the version that we now have that describes our disciplinary process is one of the clearest and best in the state. It's one of the best that I've seen. And I've done a lot of looking at other police departments and how they function, both during my 12 years with the NYPD and my 2 years in the private sector doing security consulting. And I am very proud of the work that was done on that new directive, DD40. It's available online. You can find it. You can see how we process citizen complaints. You know, we're talking about a relatively small set of circumstances here. In 2024 so far, there have been 20 citizen complaints against police officers. And six of them so far have been sustained. So it's not that we don't have accountability or systematic review. Every single one of those was looked at by the police commission, and we involved them in it. So is it easy to make a complaint? Yes, it's super easy to make a complaint. You can do it online. Is there transparency? There is, with appointed members of the public, that being the police commission. They see every single one. Is there quality of investigation? I don't think anybody's had issues with the quality of the investigations that we've performed. There have been issues with decisions made, but not the investigations themselves. Are other entities included? We include the mayor's office, the city attorney's office, the police commission. Is there criminal accountability? That's provided by the state's attorney and the attorney general and the U.S. attorney. Is there professional accountability? That's the Vermont Criminal Justice Council. That has authority over officer certification. I think the real objection comes down to the belief that it shouldn't just be the police chief who makes the decision, which is what the charter says right now, but the chief doesn't make that decision alone. There are any number of other people that get to weigh in at various stages. The new directive codifies the ways in which the police commission participates in that decision. And to the extent that the final decision is the chief's, it's not the final decision. There is arbitration that is available. There are grievance patterns that are available. And any of these other entities, such as criminal accountability or professional accountability, can be pursued irrespective of what the chief determines. So the notion that we're going to create a very large and cumbersome five-person panel that will meet only in cases of emergency and have an unclear system of appointment does not strike me as a terrific use of our time as a city when we're really trying to focus on rebuilding this police department and encouraging officers to come here.
Well, very large five-person panel. I think some folks might disagree with that characterization. But I do have a question for you, though, about this oversight. I mean, by your admission, the Burlington Police Department is about 20 people smaller than you want it to be. With that, if you reach that 87 officer, sworn officer cap that you all are aiming towards, can you see a world in which you might need that additional oversight, that outside support that might be necessary for a larger department than what you have right now?
That I don't believe that the current size of the police department is what's influencing the number of complaints that we've had or not. I mean, I think those small numbers that I talked about are still indicative of the way in which the department operates. I think we have really terrific men and women who work for this agency. I'm proud to work with every single one of them. I am grateful that they still show up every single day in the face of lots of different challenges, including tremendous exhaustion. We are overworking them because we don't have enough of them. There is compassion fatigue as we face off against many of the things that all of us are facing as communities, be that increases in property theft, increases in overdose, increases in mental health concerns over the past several years. And they show up every single day. I'm grateful to work with them. I'm proud to work with them. And I think that what we see right now in the patterns of the numbers of complaints is indicative of their skill, not the number of them that there are.
Mm. Thank you for that. Oh, let's go back to the phones. We have a call from Adam in East Montpelier. Adam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the call, Chief. And I appreciate what you're doing. You're under-resourced and understaffed, and that's hard for everyone. I'm calling sort of on behalf of a friend of mine. In the 1980s, he and his family bought an investment property in the Buell Street, Orchard Terrace area, where, you know, he and his siblings lived there while they went through UVM, and then he operated as a rooming house for a while, and then...
And Adam, I'm so sorry, we don't have much time left, if you don't mind jumping to your question.
It's just, I went there to help him with some work on the house, and I was shocked at the number of intoxicated and people who are absolutely out of it in that church on Buell Street. And my friend's house has been robbed twice this summer. And, you know, if I was sending my kids to UVM, it's not the house I would want to rent for them to live in.
Mm.
And, you know, it's an investment property. And I was really shocked at the state of things. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. Look, I'm shocked and dismayed by what we're seeing in those parts of the city as well. We are addressing it as best we can, and that is a large number of resources trying to figure out how to help people and hold them accountable and prevent them from making life untenable. And what you're describing is exactly what I meant when I say that sometimes these things that we consider so-called victimless crimes, public intoxication, open-air drug use, they are victim. There is a victim. It is the community. It is the neighbors who live nearby. And you're putting that to words on behalf of your friend and person who, you know, has property in that area. The situation in Buell Street is the situation that was at the library until we moved it out. It was the situation that last summer was largely in City Hall Park until we moved it out of there. It moved to the library. We relocated it or dislocated it from the library area. It moved largely to the parking garage across the street from the intersection that you're talking about, which is Buell and South Winooski. It is right between two churches, the First Congregational Church or the First Church and the Methodist Church or the Red Door Church. Both of those properties are experiencing tremendous situations and problems with regard to the number of people who are often there during the daytime, the open-air drug use, the open-air alcohol and just sort of lethargy. And it is incredibly unpleasant for people to move through that area. We know that individuals are avoiding that street as they transit from downtown back to the hill section in the college or the university, rather. We know that there's been theft at both locations, the First Church and the Methodist Church. I have spoken directly with people from both of those entities. We move in. We attempt to make arrests when appropriate and when allowed by law. We have issued trespasses to a number of those individuals, or rather the property owners have. We are not allowed to issue the trespasses, but we are allowed to affect the notice of trespass by making a citation or arrest as necessary. We've also sent, however, our community support liaisons, those CSLs. They have worked with those individuals. Our community service officers have gone there, noticed tents when tents are erected, which is sort of a step too far. I know that the BFD CIT has gone through there as well to make certain to treat people. You know, a lot of the drugs that are currently in the drug supply, most infamously xylazine, create tremendous wounds and injuries for people who are experiencing some substance use disorder. And so we are putting all the resources that are at the city's disposal currently on this issue and attempting to address it. But until we have something else other than merely treating symptoms, we are going to continue to see this issue. And a component of it is not incarcerating people who are incorrigible recidivists of danger, but not all the people in this corner by any means would fit that definition. Their issue is that we don't have enough services and housing for the folks who are most vulnerable and most in need.
Chief, this legislative session, lawmakers passed a plan to create an overdose prevention center in Burlington, also known as a safe injection site, where people can use illegal drugs under medical supervision with the goal of decreasing fatal overdoses. Do you think an overdose prevention center like this could help address some of the issues your department is being asked to face? And generally, how could it affect your department? Will you be staffing it? Do you know how that will work yet?
So, no, I do not believe that the Burlington Police Department will staff that. I would object to having police staff at that area, although I do believe that some of our community support liaisons might be able to work in a facility such as that, or at least be able to connect with people there. I think there are, you know, open questions about this. I did sign a letter along with the fire chief and the mayor to the legislature talking about safe injection sites. I don't consider them overdose prevention sites. I think they are sites where if the worst effects of overdose can be prevented because of rapid addressing them. But overdoses occur at them because that's what people are doing there. They're using the substances and having the overdoses. So are they safe injection sites? That, I think, is a more accurate term. Nevertheless, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions about these. I think there are questions around whether or not these are sufficiently geared towards treatment and actually addressing the substance use underneath or merely facilitating it. And if it's the latter only, I don't think that's the best use of our money or our energies. However, what we are currently doing is clearly insufficient. We have seen tremendous spikes in overdose over the past 3 years. We've seen tremendous spikes in fatalities in Chittenden County, not in Burlington. Burlington has actually seen a far larger increase in overdoses, but not in fatalities. And something needs to be done to address these things. To the extent that this is something that the public in Burlington has asked for and now has been approved by the legislature, I think that that's something that we're going to see and ultimately see how it works.
Very briefly, Chief, I had to squeeze this one in. In June, your department made national headlines over a mock shooting that officers staged at Burlington High School. It was supposed to teach kids about the unreliability of witness statements, ended up terrifying a lot of students. They heard loud gunshots, many dove to the floor. Were any of the officers involved in that incident disciplined in any way? And what's changed at the department about how you'll run demonstrations in the future?
So the supervisor who was in contact with the team at the school that reviewed and verbal and through email said, you know, this sounds like something that we could do and would be interested in, had conversations with the school. We participated in a restorative justice panel with the school. I spoke directly with the superintendent. We jointly issued a statement. I've had meetings with the mayor about that and how we move forward in ways that make certain that we continue to work really closely with this incredibly important constituency, which is our youth and the students in Burlington, but also do so in a way that is something that is safe for them and healthy for them, and also is pedagogically sufficient and successful.
Okay, but no disciplinary measures were taken or needed to be taken in your view against the officers involved?
I do not believe any needed to be taken.
Okay. Well, Police Chief John Murad, we are so thankful, as always, for your time. You know, we've had to reschedule this conversation a couple of times because of big events going on in Vermont, particularly the flooding. And we're so glad you were able to join us today. Thank you.